You're tuned in to The Last Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to The Last Radio Show. I'm John Lynch.
I'm Jen Riley.
And this is a show where we talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk about news, history, pop culture. Today, we're going to get a little deep and philosophical.
Ooh.
We're going to dig some layers here.
Okay.
We're going to make the age-old discussion of how old you're only as old as you feel. Have you ever heard that expression?
Of course.
How old do you feel right now?
I mean, about 95 today.
I feel about 110 myself. You know, I feel like I'm getting older every day, which I guess I am. I mean, technically that's true.
Totally.
You know.
That is true. All of us are.
But I do think there is a perception now that people are more active later in life than they were maybe in the previous generation. And people are, I think, kind of like looking at life like, well, okay, when I get to 50, I'm old. But some people, when they get to 50, they start thinking, well, when I get to 60, I'm going to be old. And when
we keep pushing it back
down the line. So what do you consider old age?
I mean, me personally?
Yeah.
That's a loaded question. I don't know. The older I get, the further it goes. That's how it works.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I guess retirement age is 65, you know, so I guess that's kind of an over-under. But most people don't retire at 65 now.
Right. Well, that's the problem, right?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, there are financial reasons for that people can't afford to do that nowadays.
Right.
But, you know, like 62 is early retirement and 65 is full retirement.
Right. And you get Medicare at 65.
Yeah.
But have you noticed that AARP magazines start coming at 40? I don't know.
I've been getting those for years now.
Yeah.
And it's very disturbing when I got the first one. I was like, what's up with this?
Yeah.
And, you know, but what's interesting now is, like, you know, The Who had a song, you know, talking about my generation, where they say, I hope I die before I get old.
Right.
They're singing that into their 80s.
So, right.
You know, so
they probably pushed it out. They're thinking 120.
They pushed it up. When they wrote that song, they were in their 20s, but now they're still on in concert playing that song, which is kind of bizarre and kind of crazy.
All right. Well, what about the Beatles? They thought 64, right?
That's right. When I'm 64, Paul McCartney is in his 80s now.
Yeah.
He's still touring, and so is Ringo.
Right.
You know, and the other ones died very young. You know, I mean, that's the other, you know, the other side of it, too. What is the age when you hear that somebody passes away and you initially think, like, oh, boy, they were young?
I know. I feel terrible when that happens.
Yeah.
When people are like, oh, well, they were.
Right.
Whatever. You know?
Right. Like,
I don't think there is an age anymore. I think it depends on the person. Because I had an aunt that was 103 years old.
Wow.
And she was like, at 99, she was a spring chicken, having her whiskey. Like, it was just, I mean, so when she died, it wasn't like, oh, she was 103. It was like, oh, Aunt May died.
Right.
She was still alive, you know?
Yeah. Now, people, you know, one of the reasons for the shift in perception and maybe shift in reality is people are taking better care of themselves than they did previously.
Yes.
You know, as overall, as a people, we're probably eating better. Medicine is better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're going to live a little longer and live at a better quality of life.
Yes.
You know, that definitely helps things. And, you know, the big saying is, you know, 50 is the new 30.
Right. Well, we also look better. That's the thing.
Better.
Like, we dye our hair. We Botox. There's a lot going on that, you know.
And, you know, we're also starting adulthood later.
Mm.
You know, like when my dad was in his early 20s, he was married, had two kids, had a full-time job, was a veteran, had already been in the war.
Like, a whole life in there.
And, you know, and he was like 23, you know.
Yeah.
Like 23, I was still living at home and still trying to figure out what I was going to do for my career. And Dad would look at me like, you know, at your age, you know. But, I mean, but that's just the way things, and, you know, in the 50s and 40s and 60s and 70s even, people were getting out of the house. You know, people weren't staying in school as long. Not everybody went to college.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, when they graduated high school, they were done, you know?
Exactly. Sure.
And, you know, now most people, or a lot of people, go to college and, you know, spend those years. And, you know, those first few years, I still feel like I'm trying to figure out adulthood.
Totally.
You know?
I feel that way, too. However, I did ask my children in prep for this, how old is old? And it's interesting. So the 9-year-old said 52.
Okay.
The 12-year-old said 40.
Wow.
And the smart guy, 16-year-old, said, well, how old are you? was like, interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, when you're a kid, you know, like, you know, your uncles or whoever, whatever adults are in there, they seem like they're a million years old.
Exactly.
If you have a cousin who was a teenager when you were like 5 or 6, you thought they were an adult. You know,
right?
And, you know, they were, and they might have been like 14. You know?
And did you ever look at an old picture of like Uncle whoever and say, you know, how old was he in this picture? And he was like 35, and you right. thought he was 60, right?
Right, exactly. You know, and people, I don't know if it was the way people dressed or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you know, people were smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day and having a whiskey right. for breakfast, you yeah. know, in those days too. But just recently, a baseball player, Ed Cranepool, passed away. Now, if anybody out there is a Met fan, they know the name Ed Cranepool.
Okay.
He played for the Mets. He started in 1962 with the Mets and played his whole career there and played for like 18, 20 years with the Mets. And when he was signed by the Mets in 1962, he was 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
So when he passed away, they were showing these pictures of like his first day as a Met, you know, where he's standing next to the manager. And, you know, it's like this 17-year-old kid just joining the Mets. He looked like he was 40.
Yeah.
I mean, he did not look like a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He looked like, you know, like he was, you know, he should be like, you know, have grandkids almost at this yeah. point, you know?
It's unbelievable.
And, you know, that's just, you know, and he was, you know, and he was an athlete. So, I mean, he was in good shape, you know?
Right.
He wasn't even like, you know, like, oh, he was like a worn down guy. He was a baseball player.
They were just more mature back then. They made him more mature.
They were. But even more recently, like, I was thinking about Wilford Brimley. Of course, mm-hmm. you know, actor, he was, you know, did a lot of different stuff. Best known, I guess, for the diabetes commercials.
Right.
And he would do the oatmeal commercials, too, I think. But, you know, he was obviously in a lot of movies and stuff, too. And his big movie was Cocoon, mm-hmm. which, you know, the movie came out in the 80s, which was about a bunch of senior citizens. And
yes.
it came out in, like, I think in the mid-80s. How old do you think he was when he starred as a senior citizen in that movie?
So I always would think he was like in his 60s, but that's not true, right?
He was 49.
49, right.
49. 49. Some people do look older. You know, the gray hair helps. You know, some people go gray very early.
Yeah.
You know, so
gray hair, that's a big thing. That really changed the dynamic.
That is, you know, the first time, you know, you see a few grays on the side of your hair, you know, you kind of freak out a little bit, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I always joke with my son, I didn't have any gray hairs until he was born, you know, because he actually gave them to. But on the flip side of the Wilford Brimley thing, I'm going to list off a couple of celebrities here, and you tell me how old you think they are.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, how old does she look or how old? Because she's been around for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, based on looks, I would say she was in her 40s, but I know she's in her 50s.
She's 56 right now.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez.
Also, probably... I would say 40s looking.
Yep.
50s yep. probably.
Now, this is the guy who everybody talks about all the time when they talk about how young people look. Paul Rudd.
Oh, God. I don't know. He's 12. Right? I have no idea. I don't know because he's a tricky one because Clueless was quite a while ago.
Right. Yeah. That was in the mid 90s, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got to be in his 50s also, right?
He is 55 right now.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani from No Doubt.
Oh, she's just ageless also.
Yep, yep.
But I guess 50s.
Yep, 55.
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz, the singer Lenny Kravitz.
Oh. I have no idea.
He is 60 years old.
Really?
Yep, yep.
Looks, wow. You
know, he's doing commercials now and stuff. Like, he hasn't had a hit song in a while.
Right.
But he appears in a lot of things. But, you know, he has a daughter who's a great actress right now and winning Oscars and stuff. So.
Right.
You know, so he's got the, how about Mario Lopez?
Mario Lopez.
He started
Lopez.
As a young actor in Saved by the Bell, of course, and everything.
Yeah, see, when I was younger, I always thought these people were much older than me. So right. now I'm trying to say, well, like, I guess he's got to be 50.
He's 51 right now.
51, okay.
So, yeah, yeah.
Hmm. He's not yeah. so much older than me than I thought.
You're catching up.
It's amazing
how that works out. It's amazing how that works out, isn't it? But yeah, so, you know, so according to to some of the official, like, scientific explanations of some mm-hmm. of this thing, the United Nations considers old age to start around 60.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's, you know, now, of course, we're looking at this from perspective of here in the United States, and we're talking about celebrities and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, obviously celebrities have the advantage of, you know, living, less stressful lifestyle than probably mm-hmm. everyday people do. Right. They have the advantage of getting, you know, plastic surgeries, getting this lifted and, you know, getting having a personal trainer and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, if you're talking about people who are, you know, in poorer countries, you know, they probably age quicker too in terms of how they look, you know, and, you know, they probably have a shorter life expectancy on top of that too.
Well, it also depends on what you're like, what the bar is, because, you know, in this country, there's a certain look that's like younger, and then there's an older, younger look, right? like almost like, you know, they had some work done, you know, they're not exactly 40 or 20 or 30. I don't know.
Right, exactly. So like when you see somebody now, do you, let's talk about the getting the work done thing, because again, and this ties in with a lot of these celebrities. Do you think Jennifer Aniston had work done?
Oh, I mean, a little bit, you know, nip and tuck.
She must have had something, right?
Nothing drastic, you know.
Right. I mean, she still looks pretty much the same as she did back when she was on Friends.
Right.
You know, obviously a little older, but, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, sometimes when people get plastic surgery, it just does not go well.
And, yeah, Meg Ryan, I'm telling you, I don't know what happened.
Kenny Rogers, remember Kenny Rogers when he got plastic, and he just looked like it was just like a freak show kind of thing basically going on. You know, which, and again, these are people who have a lot of money and, you know, should have like the best resources to get like, you know, quality work done.
But the people you mentioned before, all the women, Jennifer Lopez and Gwen Stefani, they all look fantastic. They really do. I mean, I think, as far as I'm concerned.
But, you know, when you bring up the thing of like, you know, having the work done, that applies more to the women too.
Yes,
you know,
that's true. You know,
nobody really ever says that about a guy.
I know. Why does George Clooney like ageless and he's just gorgeous forever? It's so unfair.
It's funny because George Clooney looked kind of older when he was younger.
Yeah.
And I think, and he just kind of stayed there. Like, I think he hit like mid-50s and stopped, but he did that in his 40s.
Yeah, you're right.
He's just frozen there.
Yeah, even when he was in younger, like in Facts of Life, he kind of had an older look to him.
He kind of had, you know, if you could put him in, you know, like an old time 40s suit, when he was like 18, you probably would have thought he was in his 40s.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I mean, you know, he's got an old school kind of look.
Yeah.
You know, but then you got like, you know, guys who are still, you know, being very productive in Hollywood, like Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford, you know, does not look young. But yet he's still out there and he's still, you know, he's still making movies. He was just in a Marvel movie where he played a Hulk, where he's, you know, doing all kinds of special effects stuff. And, you know, obviously, but I remember like when he did the more recent Indiana Jones movies. And I think we mentioned this when we were talking about Star Wars, the last show, that, you know, it is a little sad when you see him out there now. You know, he's not quite Indiana Jones anymore, you know, even though he's still playing Indiana Jones.
Yeah, he's weathered for sure. He's
weathered. And again, that's more, you'd say that about a guy. You would never say a woman is weathered.
I know, this is all, it's all it's very like sexist. Unfair, sexist, right? The men work forever. They have kids forever. Like the whole thing.
Exactly.
Now, actually, one of the things that we think about, like when you think of how old women are, as on television, the Golden Girls are always something that pops up because they were in their 50s, 60s. Right, you know, you thought that they were so much older and they're in their 50s. I mean, you know, Bea Arthur and Jennifer Aniston, probably the same age at that time.
Right, exactly. You know? And Bea Arthur always looked like an older woman.
Right.
She always, you know, when she was on Maude in the
70s. Yes, that's true, too. And, you know,
she looked like an older woman.
Well, she rocked her gray hair early, I think, too. She
went. If I'm not mistaken, in The Golden Girls, the one who played her Arthur's mother was actually the youngest of the four of them.
Yes, it's Del Getty. She was the youngest. Getty,
yes. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, played older.
Yeah, she was. It's crazy. She did, but she looked, you know, she looks good when she took her wig off and stuff. She kind of.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. You know. Yeah. She didn't. If I remember correctly, she didn't really have that much gray hair.
Like, no, you know, you know, I think she dyed it red.
She actually, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, they were playing such an older role. Now, recently, I saw an interview with Marissa Tomei. And I guess she's, you know, in her mid-50s, too.
She's got to be,
around that. But she was talking about how at some point about relatively recently, she started taking roles playing a mom. Or she's in the Marvel movies. She's in the Spider-Man movies as the aunt of Spider-Man, Aunt May. Right. And what's funny about that, in the comic books, Aunt May, in Spider-Man comic books was a little old lady.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, you know, and then Marissa told me, and they make jokes about it that, like, oh, his aunt's actually pretty hot. So they actually reference that in the movie. And in other Spider-Man movies, older actresses had played, Sally Field had played Aunt May in the previous Spider-Man movies.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, before that, it was another actress whose name I don't know off the top of my head.
Now, were they older?
They were definitely older.
Oh, okay.
They were older, yeah. But each like incarnation of the Spider-Man movies, because there's been like three different like versions of Spider-Man that they've made movies of. You know, there was the Tobey Maguire, there was the Andrew Garfield, and now there's the Tom Holland movies. So each time they've made Aunt May a little bit younger. You know, and
she's getting hotter.
Aunt May. And you know, we could bring up the MILF part of you know, this whole kind of thing, and we all, I think most people know what that stands for, so we'll keep clean here.
Yes.
But
well, Marissa Tomei actually looks great. She looks fantastic. Yeah.
But she did talk about, like, at some point, you know, when she agreed to play these roles where she was playing the mom or the aunt or whatever it was, she's like, I stopped getting other roles. Like, that's who I became. I became a mom character.
Yeah. And,
you know.
Well, unfortunately for women, there's just not a lot of, like, older, you know, romantic lead. True. There just isn't. I mean, it's just people just, I guess, don't want to see it. I don't know. Or maybe we should change that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it's funny how, like, we talk about age, and it shifted pretty quickly into sexism.
Yes.
it's kind of funny.
That's true.
You know, that really is a big part of it, you know.
Well, because, like, aging is rough. I mean, obviously for men and women, but I'm personally, like, I'm feeling it. I'm like, I knew I was going to get old, but I didn't know, like, I'd lose my eyesight and I'd get gray hair. Like, I had no idea. Shocking.
Now, the first time you tried to read something and you had to kind of pull it away a little bit, do you remember that distinctly? Or
yeah, because it was recently. It was like within the last couple of years where I just was like, well, I can't see that. And then you go out with my girlfriends the other day. We all went out for brunch, my high school girlfriends, and everyone, you know, whipped out their readers. And one was like, you guys need readers? And we were like, you don't?
And you don't?
Yeah. So it's like, it's shocking. It happens. You never think it's going to happen to you. And then it does. Right. And you're like,
what? Right. Right.
Yeah. But again, I'm actually, like, kind of happy that they're pushing off the old age, you know, stigma to later on. I mean, I'll take 50 as the new 30.
Yeah. I'm in my 50s. So yeah.
At
this point, you know.
Yeah, so. I like to know I have a little life left in me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't want to kind of wrap things up at any given point.
Yeah.
And, but you know, the other thing about it too is that, you know, with the health stuff, you are, you know, living a better quality of life too.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, if you are, you're going to be able to get around. I mean, a lot of people I know who I went to high school with and, you know, college with, and who I'm still in touch with, you know, like, all of a sudden I hear, oh yeah, you know, Scott, he got a hip replacement.
Yes.
Like,
that's a big thing.
Oh my God. But, you know, he was, you know, but my friend did get that done, and, you know, he's like hopping around now, like, no problem.
That's true too. That's another thing that you mentioned, that the hip replacements and knee replacements are all, like, extending the body. I mean, it's just that they're actual, like, you know, like, physical, like, almost like tools for to extend your body's lifespan. It's crazy. You're running around, just get everything replaced. I know somebody, two hip replacements, a knee replacement, a shoulder. I mean, they're bionic.
Right. They kind of are. Yeah, they're becoming cyborgs.
Yeah, at this point. You're crazy. Right.
Now, with the other thing that I always get a kick out of, and I'm going to tell you a little story. Not too long ago, I was on a train. I was on the Long Island Railroad, coming home on a train. It was very crowded, and I had to stand up. And there were these two guys who were, I would say, a few years older than me, but not much older than me. And we were all standing by the doorway. And these two guys didn't know each other, but they started talking. And it turns out they were both in some kind of construction kind of jobs. And they, like, you know, I guess one had a shirt on or something. And they struck up a conversation and started. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of standing next to him while these two guys are having a conversation. I'm kind of eavesdropping. And they're talking about their jobs and all this kind of stuff. And they drifted into talking about music.
Okay.
And they were talking about, like, music today. Oh, boy, music today sucks.
Oh.
You know, when you get to that point, when you hear a new song, you're like, ah. You know, Taylor Swift. And by the way, Taylor Swift's been around for 15 years now, yeah. So she's not even really new music anymore, but she's, you know, the biggest pop star going at the moment. But they were talking literally about Taylor Swift, and they were like, you know, she's terrible. You know, what, how come, you know, you don't hear stuff like Kiss? And I'm like, well, you know, if you're a Kiss fan, you're probably not going to be a Taylor Swift fan. That has nothing to do with, you know, how long they've been around and right. How new they are. You know, it's just, you know, it's,
That's hysterical.
You know, we both have worked in radio, and there is a perception when you're like picking the music for a radio station. And right. as you know, I programmed a radio station at one time. You basically, if you have a target audience, if you want to target, let's say, you know, your target audience you want to be is between 35 and 55, and you want, that's the demographic you want to reach. What you do is you go right in the middle of that demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And you try and figure out when that person was in high school.
Oh, like right.
In high school.
Smart.
And that's when they were the coolest.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they were, you know, that's when they were listening to new music. That's when they were going out and buying new music.
And that's what they want to hear, right? They want to just relive that.
Yeah. So if you know, if you were, you know, a senior in high school in 86, you're going to love, you know, all that 80s music. And, yes. you know, Wham is going to be like your favorite band, or, you know, whoever it might be. Where yeah. If you were a senior in high school in 92, Nirvana is the band that, you know, you love. And you
right.
know,
but that's actually changing now, because all of the old music is now new again. So my kids right. will be singing these songs. I'll be like, "How do you know that song?" They're like,
right.
"Oh, it's on TikTok, or it's right, you know, been redone." Or but the cool thing about working in radio as older people, I will say, is that I can say I was singing like Dua Lipa and Sabrina Carpenter, right. and my daughter's like, "How do you know that?" I'm like, "I'm just cool." Right. Mom, listening to it 100 times. I was at the station, but yeah.
Exactly. I got brainwashed by it. Exactly. That's okay. You know, that's okay. But
that's when she's young too. You know, you yeah. got to know the music. So,
and you know, what's interesting too is now too, again, with all the options that are out there for listening to music or for watching TV shows or movies, you know, it used to be back when we were kids, we'll throw mm-hmm. that in there because that kind of yeah. ties in with the theme. But, you know, when I was growing up, the reruns that I would watch in the afternoon as a kid were all from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for even sure. in the 50s, you know, there was like Lucille Ball was on all the time yes. in the afternoon. And,
you're
you know,
right.
And there was, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch were that's what I grew up watching,
mm-hmm.
even though those shows were before I was born.
Right.
Most of them, you know. And, you know.
Yeah, so that started the shift when you started like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so there's like, you know, if you grew up, you know, in the 70s and 80s watching TV before you had cable and way before you had streaming and internet. You know, you were watching 50s and 60s TV shows.
Yeah, that's true.
And now, you know, kids today, you know, so
oh boy, we're really aging ourselves a little bit.
Get off my lawn. But, you know, kids today, there also is like programming specifically for kids. Like there are TV shows on Nickelodeon and Disney that are just like a new quality programs just for kids.
Yes, right. You know, we didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. We really didn't. I mean, there was, I guess Saved by the Bell was maybe the first show along right. those lines, you know, but there's, you know, all the, you know, not too long ago, you know, Hannah Montana and Sweet
yeah.
Life and all those kind of shows. And then,
well, you know, that's when Disney realized kids are the real consumers, like right. hook them.
Right. Hook them for life.
You yeah, know? They became the audience, preferred audience, I think.
You know, so many of the topics we talk about gets back to Disney's greed.
And don't say that, because you know I'm a Disney
person. I know you're a Disney person.
Right.
That came up when we were talking about Star Wars.
That's true.
Came up when we were talking about, you know, everything. You know, Disney is controlling the world, apparently.
That's true. At this point,
but fair enough. Well, you yeah. know, we should probably wrap this up because I'm getting tired because I'm not as young as I used to be.
I know.
It's about 4:30. It's about time for my nap.
Listen, yeah. Don't forget about Aunt Mayo, 105. We're still young.
We're not even halfway done yet.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to The Last Radio Show. If you like the show, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on your favorite platform. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at The Last Radio Show. We will talk to you soon.
The Last Radio Show.
The Last Radio Show.